Another major stumbling block is a lack of knowledge. Now, to sum up whatever we have given in this slide, let me say this. Supply chain is a discipline in itself. It is not a discipline which can be done by any Tom, Dick and Harry. Of course, if you have the intelligence, if you have the common sense and if you have the willingness to learn, you can do everything, but it will help if you take people who are specifically trained or educated in this discipline. That's why you see many universities have today understood. Universities in North America, in Southeast Asia, in certain parts of Europe were already offering specialized courses, but that's also even caught up in India nowadays. So the cultural trust and process knowledge differences in firms are such that firms successfully managing the supply chain must spend significant amount of time influencing and increasing the capabilities of themselves and their partners. So not only do you enhance the knowledge or the skill level of your own employees, you need to extend your knowledge to your partners. That's why many big corporations who specialize in certain areas make it convenient to impart their knowledge even to their customers and their suppliers. If possible, change and information sharing can be threatening to people. Additionally, as firms construct their supply chain information infrastructure, it needs to be integrated both internally as well as externally. Thus, firms must realize that the people to be using the system must be involved from a very early on in the process. For all organizations, successful supply chain management requires education and ongoing training. And then you have the issues of the bullwhip effect, which basically means that the demand for a product basically oscillates very much as you move up and down the supply chain. So you have promotional sales, discounts, inflated orders, which basically lead to, you know, uncertain forecasts, longer cycle times. All these are issues leading to excess capacity, excess inventories and poor customer service in the supply chain. Now these problems or erroneous things can happen due to many reasons. Bullwhip effect is just one of them. The collaboration extends for the enterprise. For the emerging discipline of supply chain management, senior leaders need to adopt the supply chain business model. Within that model, three characteristics emerge. Supply chain integration was positioned and extended to include customers and suppliers. Earlier, it was more of an internal concept. The concept of supply chain collaboration sparked an unprecedented level of integration that extended beyond traditional enterprises and boundaries. Supply chain alignment became a global concept, extending across geographically separated customers and suppliers. As the decade unfolded, the earlier focus of cooperation and coordination was expanded to include collaboration also. Now, companies that collaborate for successful supply chain execution have three common features or common characteristics. Firstly, they acknowledge their dependency, they are willing to share strategic information with their partners, and they acknowledge and comply with cross-organizational leadership and needs. Now, one of the models which has emerged in supply chain, which has helped a lot of organizations better their supply chain integration processes and needs, is the SCORE model, the Supply Chain Operations Reference Model. Now, it is a model, a framework for examining a supply chain in detail, defining and categorizing the processes that make up the supply chain. So, you are actually breaking it up, you are, you know, kind of unlocking each component of the supply chain, then you are looking at each part in detail, trying to understand if there is anything that can be improved. So it's like a Lean Six Sigma project in itself. Assigning metrics to the processes and reviewing comparable benchmarks. Many companies use the SCORE model to understand and improve their supply chains. Many industries do it. This may include aerospace, defense, large consumer product, 3PLs, etc. The SCORE models integrates the well-known concepts of BPRE, benchmarking, process re-engineering and measurement into a cross-functional and an integrative process improvement network. Now, SCORE defines the supply chain as the integrated process of plan, source, make, deliver, and return, spanning from a supplier's supplier to the customer's customer, aligned with operational strategy, material work, and information flows. So, if you see the SCORE model, you have like suppliers here, you have the customers here. So, you have the planning, which encompasses everything. You start with what plan, then you source what you have planned, your raw materials, etc. Then you have your manufacturing units which make or repair, then you deliver, and then if required you take return, and this process goes on. So, let's look at these individual components. So, what's planning? Planning is demand and supply planning, and the management is included in this first step. It also includes determining business rules to improve and measure supply chain efficiency. Now, planning is basically the starting process. Many consider this to be the starting process of the chain, wherein you basically forecast what the customer needs, balance it with what you can deliver. If there are gaps, you negate those gaps. So, planning is, and from planning, then you will buy your raw materials, your packing material, your other engineering spare parts, etc., which will enable you to plan, then you source, then finally you supply them to your factory or your plant, they make it, and then the logistics people deliver it to your customers, and if necessary you take returns, rework, resupply. So, this is the planning part. Sourcing is nothing but purchasing. This step describes sourcing, infrastructure and material acquisition. It describes how to manage inventory, the supplier network, supplier agreements and supplier performance. So, this is all about your vendor relationship management, getting at the lowest price, the best quality, timely payments, inventory management, although inventory always might not be the responsibility of the procurement team. You can have separate inventory managers also to give it a more independent kind of an outlook. Making is nothing but manufacturing. Manufacturing and production are the emphasis of this step. They make includes production activities, packaging, staging product and releasing it. Delivering is logistics, nothing but to deliver it to the customer when they need it and in the right quantity at the lowest possible cost. This step involves management of finished inventories, assets, transportation, product life cycles and improving and even exporting requirements. Return, this step involves the management of business rules, return inventory, assets and transportation. Now, what are the benefits of using the SCORE model? This model enables a company to take full leverage of its capital investment. It leads to creation of a supply chain roadmap. Why does it lead to a creation of a roadmap? Because you have actually kind of, you know, unlocked, taken apart your whole supply chain, understood each part and then reassemble all those parts, and you know where you want to take your supply chain organization to. Alignment of business functions, an average of 2 to 6 times return on investment. Now, this will depend upon a successful implementation. It is not that you implement SCORE, whatever you do it, you get a 2 times ROI. No, it is going to be tough. You need to do it well. That's why you need good people. They need to be trained well, and then there should be policies which will ensure delivery, commitments, quality and timelines and regulatory requirements. The SCORE span of control includes all customer interactions from order to the paid invoice. All market interactions from understanding and of aggregate demand to the fulfillment of each order. SCORE does not attempt to describe the following business processes. So, certain things are consciously kept out of the scope of the SCORE model: sales and marketing, R&D, product development and certain elements of post delivery customer support. SCORE assumes but does not explicitly address the training needs of the organization, the quality aspects and the IT part of it. Now, that was the SCORE model. Let's also talk about what are the major supply chain processes that we have studied so far. There can be classified into 8 processes: customer relationship management, customer service management, demand management, order fulfillment, manufacturing, supply relationship or vendor relationship management, product development and commercialization, and returns management. So, the first major process is CRM or customer relationship management. The CRM process provides the structure for how relationship with customers are developed and maintained. Then we come to customer service management. It presents a multi-company unified response system to the customer wherever complaints, concerns, questions or comments are voiced. Demand management, it balances customer requirements with supply chain capabilities. So, demand management is all to do with what the customer demands, what is the pull from the market or what the sales wants to push vis-a-vis what the supply chain operations of the manufacturing team is able to deliver. Order fulfillment, the objective is to develop a seamless system from the supplier to the firm and then on to the various customer segments. So, order fulfillment is very, very important. This involves the whole process of receiving an order, entering it into a system, correct invoicing, correct picking, correct transportation, delivery, and finally, you send it to your customer, they pay you back. This whole process is then completed. At times, it also includes the other taxation formalities also. So, if the customer has to give a certain form like a C form, etc., that order fulfillment team or the order management team should be responsible for collecting it. Manufacturing flow management, it includes all activities necessary to obtain, implement and manage manufacturing flexibility in the supply chain and to move products through the production process. Supplier relationship management, closely related to the manufacturing flow management process. Product development and commercialization, it provides a structure for working with customers, suppliers to develop products and bring them to the market. And finally, last but not the least, returns management enables firms to manage volumes of return product efficiently while minimizing return related costs and maximizing the value of the return assets. Now, another important concept to be noted is about of SCV, the supply chain visibility. It is the ability of the parts, components or products in transit to be tracked from the manufacturer to their final destination. So, how visible are my supply chain processes? Am I able to track my shipments in the inbound as well as in the outbound phase of logistics? The goal is to improve and strengthen the supply chain by making data readily available to all stakeholders, including the end customer. Supply chain visibility technology promotes quick response to change by allowing privileged users to take action and reshape demand or redirect supply. So, there are examples of various companies who have shared information. For example, Walmart shares its POS point of sale data with some of its suppliers, wherein the suppliers are able to see their sales and the inventory positions and immediately replenish inventory without losing time. That's why Walmart is able to sell so much and keep its shelves full when their customers actually demand it. Simultaneous resource consideration. If planning system visibility highlights resource status and availability, the second planning system requirement is a need to simultaneously consider supply chain demand, capacity, material requirements and constraints. The constraints to meeting customer requirements are material, production, storage, etc. Achieving the desired supply chain performance requires simultaneous consideration of relevant requirements and capacity constraints to identify the trade-offs, where increased functional costs such as in manufacturing or storage might lead to lower total systems cost. Resource utilization. Resources consume a substantial proportion of a typical firm's fixed and working assets. Functional management must focus on resource utilization, effective resource utilization within its scope of responsibility. For example, production management is focused on minimizing plant and equipment resources required for manufacturing. This results in long production runs requiring minimum setups and changeovers. But the challenge here is for supply chain is to balance it. So, on the one hand, you will have your manufacturing setup requiring long production run, minimum changeovers, better output, lower cost. But is that at the cost of flexibility? Is that at the cost of efficiency? That's the overall holistic decision that we need to take and understand. Now, one tool which is used in most good organizations today to get this integration that we talked about so much till now is the process of the S&OP, the sales and operational planning. What S&OP is, what's what we're going to see, it's the main crux of this presentation of this chapter. Please pay your utmost attention. The S&OP provides a holistic framework for balancing demand with supply and incorporates key financial measures to ensure that operational plan is aligned with the strategic plan of the organization to produce the best possible business results. It's an end-to-end business review. The name sales and operational planning basically stems from the fact that it gets two slightly contradictory teams, the sales and the operations. Operations you can associate with the supply chain team perhaps more than anything else. The sales and the operations and marketing team, they come, you know, together, they discuss numbers, they thrash out their differences. End of the meeting, you go back with a firm clarity. The sales knows what they are going to get, the operations knows what they need to deliver. So, there is no ambiguity, and then the organization is aligned and walks in the path that will lead it to its goal. The S&OP works with conventional ERP and supply chain planning systems to deliver information and process support to create a consensus plan among senior executives, demand planning managers, production managers, and the list is endless. There is no limit to it. Depending on organization to organization, you need to, you know, get the members who will be key participants in this meeting. Conflicts in the S&OP process, the reconciliation of various conflicts is generally referred to as coordination. Beyond coordination, organizations must define the problem, ascertain the options available for dealing with the problem, and create an agreeable solution with collaboration across the functions. An effective S&OP requires a blending of process and technology with organizational collaboration. So, do not mistake the S&OP to be a system process. It is not a place where you show your demand planning, your ERP tools, and that's it. The tools are there, they help you get the numbers, but finally, it is a man-to-man or a per-human connect. The end result of the S&OP should be to get a consensus between the supply and the demand. So, what's the S&OP process? Starts from forecast, demand planning, supply planning, pre-S&OP preparation, and the final S&OP meeting. So, let's take an hypothetical S&OP process. This will start with the sales forecasts. Now, the horizon or the bucket will differ from organization to organization, but let's take a 2-year horizon for which the plans, sales forecasts will come. Then the demand planners and supply planners will meet, they will plan their production in line with their inventory goals. So, you have a sales, then you have a production, and then you have inventory. So, finally, you should produce as much as your sales needs and then still keep a certain amount of inventory to take care of the upsurges which might happen in the system. So, finally, when you get out of the meeting, you come with a lot of actionables as to what to make, what is to be delivered. It's not only a meeting for the supply chain people or a meeting for the sales and marketing people. It's a place where you have to interchange ideas. You will have to enrich each other's way of working and knowledge base, so that the supply chain people know what's happening in the market, and the marketing knows what and how we produce, how you deliver, how you plan, and how you transport. Now, in order to make this process more robust and make the supply chain processes more, you know, cleaner and clearer, there are certain operations and applications which are available. This include demand planning applications, production planning, and logistic planning applications. Now, what exactly is demand planning? It involves predicting future demand for products and services and aligning production and distribution capabilities accordingly. The process consists of three parts: demand forecasting, demand planning, and demand management. Now, why, you know, sales forecasting, demand forecasting is something which is a very statistical, you know, method. At times you have practical plus statistical integration happening and you finally get numbers. But as a salesperson, it becomes very important to understand the reason why sales forecasts are so important, because it's the starting point for all supply chain processes. Now, increased investment in forecasting tools is resulting from greater competition in the world today, more frequent product launches, shorter product life cycles, unprecedented levels of economic uncertainty, which has made forecasting increasingly complex, and researches which highlight that the need to improve service levels and reduce stock holding are the two biggest drivers to invest resources in the forecasting and demand planning domains. Key demand planning challenges. This includes poor communication, insufficient internal collaboration, and inadequate processes to manage business and customer requirements. A knowledge gap caused by issues such as lack of recognized forecasting tools or process promotional complexity and data integrity. So, very, very clear that demand planning, say, forecasting is not something very simple. So, there are tools available which help you know, the people responsible for this function do a better job at it. What's the way forward? Developing collaborative supply chain practices will drive business capability, optimize service levels, reduce wastages, maximize on-shelf availability of your company's brand. Production planning. The goal is to produce product more efficiently. The production planning process determines when a specific production order needs to be produced and on which particular resource. It also takes into account the availability of resources and components. Production planning constrains production technology, capacity, resource, limitation in the form of facility equipment and labor. So, the planning job is very complex. You need to produce something subject to a lot of constraints. For this, companies use many advanced planning tools, which we will see later, to help them do this. The idea is to make the most productive use of your production resources, produce efficiently, and most importantly, let there be visibility of what is happening in the system. Thirdly, logistics planning. This is more on the outbound distribution part. To ensure that supply chain is operating as efficient as possible and generating the highest level of customer satisfaction at the lowest cost, companies have adopted logistical planning and associated technology to aid it. Logistics planning integrates overall movement demand, vehicle availability, and relevant movement cost into a common decision support system that seeks to minimize overall freight expenses. It has three levels of activity: strategic, tactical, and operational. What is a strategic logistical planning? The company management will be looking to high-level strategic decisions such as the size, location of manufacturing sites, warehouses, partnership with vendors, products to be manufactured, where they are to be manufactured, which are the markets where they will be sold. Tactical decisions include focus on adopting measures that will produce cost benefits, and operational decisions are made each day in the business that affect how the products move, which transporters to call, freight negotiation. It involves making schedule changes to production plans, purchase agreements with suppliers, taking orders from customers, and moving products into the warehouses. Now, as I said, there are certain advanced planning and scheduling tools which are available, which includes APO, APS, whatever you call them. Advanced planning and scheduling systems, it refers to a manufacturing management process by which raw materials and production capacity are optimally allocated to meet demand. Now, one of the key elements, like any other ERP, is the data that you feed into the system. The system will give you the best output as to which resource to use, which line to use, how to schedule, provided you feed it with the correct information. The system needs to see your manufacturing plant, and then it can give you what best you need to do. It is specially well suited to environments where simpler planning methods cannot adequately address complex trade-offs between competing priorities. It uses finite scheduling, a process that assumes fixed maximum capacity. It sequences or prioritizes jobs according to actual constraints in the company that it faces. It creates more realistic forecasts than an infinite scheduling methods. And APS is a new revolutionary step in an enterprise and enterprise inter-enterprise related planning systems. This is a diagrammatic representation of what an advanced planning system can look like. So you have the forecast coming in, you have the material master, you have the customer master, you have the vendor master, the resource master, location, operations, the bill of material. The bill of materials is a very, very important planning tool. It is basically commonly referred to as the BOM. This refers to the ingredients and the quantities that are required to make a particular batch of product. It's generally per 100 or per 1000 kgs or liters. The routings, all these are like inputs, like orders, inventory orders, work orders, supplier orders, etc. Then this churns this information here in the cortex, and it gives out POs, resource line Gantt charts, production orders. That's like, if you talk about APO, which is one of the most advanced planning systems of SAP there. So you're talking about the system which starts with the sales forecast. This rolls on. The sales forecast basically creates planned orders, which is basically production demand on the manufacturing site. When you manufacture it, you confirm your production through process orders, and then basically your raw material, packing material, is consumed and converted into finished goods, which moves into your warehouses. So what are the components of an advanced planning system tool? Demand planning and forecasting, both statistical and time series statistics and mathematics are used in the solution to calculate a forecast based on sales history. Demand management works collaboratively and interactively, both internally and across the firm's functional components, and externally with supply chain partners to develop a common and consistent forecast for each time period, location, and item. Then you have resource management. Resource management component defines and coordinates supply chain system resources and constraints. An advanced planning system requires four types of information: product and customer, resource definition and costs, system limitations, and planning objective. See, here also in planning system, costs are important. Just to give you an example, if the bill of material changes, for example, bill of material is always specific to a date. So if you have a bill of material which is valid till the end of this year, and you have a bill of material which is available next year, but the system is intelligent, it sees that the cost of your manufacturing will be higher as per the bill of material, which will start from, say, the 1st of January next year. Then what it will do is basically it will try to prepone all your orders into this year, because it wants you to minimize costs. Now, if that is practically impossible, then you will have to shift your demands in such a way that your planned orders are split throughout the planning horizon. Product definition, it provides the product descriptions and physical characteristics such as weight and cube, etc. Customer definition, it provides the ship to location and distribution assignments along with special service requirements. And resource definitions, it specifies the physical resources used to accomplish supply chain activities such as manufacturing, storage and movement capacities. Now there are certain system limitations also which the APS system considers. This defines major supply chain activity constraints. These include the capacity limitations associated with production, storage and movement. Planning function, it defines criteria for developing a solution. Typical objective functions including minimizing total cost or any of its subcomponents, meeting all customer requirements or minimizing a number of instances where capacity is exceeded. The combination of demand management and resource management information provides the basis for the APS evaluation of alternate supply chain strategies. The resource optimization module is the computational engine or black box of the tool. The resource module results as supply chain plans. The resource allocation module also provides information regarding whether product is available to promise, the ATP check or capable to promise. ATP is used to design or designate that even though actual inventory is not currently available, it will be available for shipment or promise at a specific date in the future. The result is more rapid commitments to customers, fewer customer surprises and enhanced resource utilization. So, when you are working, if you know ERP, you will have a sales and distribution module and you will have a PM module or a PP module. Now these modules, they all talk to each other. So when you create a sales order and you run an ATP check, so even though the inventory is not available today, it will check when the back end it has planned for production and it will give a particular date when that quantity will be made available. Thus, as a customer interface, you are able to commit in a very concrete way to your customer as to when your inventory will be available if it is currently not available. Supply chain planning benefits, responsiveness to changes, faster responsiveness, comprehensive perspective and optimum resource utilization. Now what do we mean by responsiveness to changes? Long lead times and freeze periods are necessary since the planning process was complex and required substantial analysis. While this approach reduced uncertainty, it also reduced flexibility and responsiveness. It also builds in a comprehensive perspective. Effective supply chain management requires planning and coordination across the firm. The process must consider the trade-offs associated with shifting activities and resources across functions and organizations. Such a comprehensive perspective increases planning process complexity substantially. It also encourages resource utilization. Effective and responsive planning allows a more level assignment of resources. Supply chain planning consideration. Major considerations are, it's an integrated versus an bolt-on or silo approach, data integrity and application education. See, all these planning tools are very good. They are at times slightly complex, so you need to have educated people, people trained on these inner softwares to run them properly. Secondly, the most important thing that we need to understand is garbage in, garbage out. If you put garbage as your input in the system, the best of the systems, the most brilliant of softwares and scheduling systems and planning systems will fail. So the human input or the human resource capability is supreme. The best of systems will fail if the proper human resource management or proper employee engagement is absent. Technically, there are three options for acquiring and implementing planning applications. The first is development using internal firm resources. The options second and third are to use supply chain planning application that is integrated with the firm's ERP system. Data integrity. Planning systems rely on absolute data integrity for effective decision making. And educational training, education regarding supply chain execution has usually focused on the mechanics to initiate the transactions. Planning system education must focus on the characteristics and relationships between supply chain management and activities and processes. Planning system experience can be developed by using job shadowing experience and statistical simulations. The shadowing environment provides an actual on-the-job experience in real-time environment. The simulated environment provides a laboratory where inexperienced planners can see or observe the results of their planning. So this is like the, you know, the production or the server where you can play around and not the live server. The combination of these two educational experiences provides a solid foundation for implementation of a successful supply chain planning application. So what we basically studied or learned or experienced in this particular chapter is that supply chain integration is of paramount importance. You can have supply chain integration when you have that knowledge in the organization, the top management is aware about the benefits of the collaborative approach and they practice what they preach. You can implement various models such as the SCORE model to analyze, reanalyze and better your supply chain, and never forget to use the additional planning and, you know, add-on tools that can collaborate with your company's ERP for better and advanced planning. So these were some of the primary learnings that we had in this chapter, and I hope it helps you to get a better idea as to how supply chain integration or an integrative approach in supply chain will help an organization to succeed. It will help to enable better cooperation and collaboration in the whole value chain. Thank you.